Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And this is, we're going on our sixth year. We're just completing our sixth year, actually, of broadcasting. And all our programs are archived on Blog Talk Radio, all the programs that we've done from the beginning. And they're available for the listeners. Also, we have a website, propheticnews.com. And a YouTube channel that's under my name, Susan Puzio. And last week, I happened to go over to Tampa because Lindsay Roberts, the daughter-in-law of Oral Roberts and the wife of Richard Roberts, was in Tampa at Randy White's church, who was formerly married to Paula White. And he still has a small congregation in Tampa. So anyway, they were having Lindsay, and I wanted to go over there and see for myself what was going on. So I was really shocked when I walked in the door, and it's a very small, very dumpy building that he has now compared to what he did have. And there was, I counted the people. There was less than 30 people there to hear Lindsay Roberts. So you often wonder, and I wonder myself too, how Oral Roberts and Richard Roberts lost their university. They lost the university. They no longer own it. And they were basically run out of town. Tulsa, they left Tulsa. Oral passed away, and his wife, can't remember her name right now, but anyway, his wife passed away, and Richard and Lindsay left Tulsa, and they live in Florida now. So it's very interesting for people to go to some of these events. I know a few months ago, Jackie Alnor, and she has a program also on Blog Talk Radio, Rapture Ready Radio. And her website, and she's been doing apologetics for many, many years, but she went over to a conference at Pat Robertson's place, and they had Catholics there, and you know, and there was hardly anybody there either at this conference. So it's a good thing to go and to see what's happening, to hear what's happening, to take pictures, to take video, whatever you can get, just to see what's really going on at some of these churches and some of these conferences, because they probably wouldn't tell you that there's such small crowds coming to some of these events, and that people aren't really buying into it. I mean, people are buying into a lot of things, trust me, because when you look at so-called Christian television, and it's such an abomination. Last night, I was watching TBN from Orlando, and of course it's a rerun, but I don't even know the name of the preacher, a new pimp preacher on the block, but he said he grew up in a minister's home, and that all they used to do was pray, and they used to pray and ask God for money, and they were always broke. So he's telling you basically that God doesn't hear your prayers when you ask for money, that the Bible isn't true, because I know my Bible says that ask and you shall receive, and my Bible says that God won't withhold any good thing from me. So I don't know what Bible he was talking about, but it's all toward the manipulation then to sow a seed, because it wasn't until he sowed a seed and he learned about this principle of seed sowing, and he borrowed money on his credit card, and you know, he gave this $500 gift, and then he got $5,000. So his prayers didn't work, and his father's prayers didn't work either. It was only when you held money up to God that God happened to show mercy on you. So it was so ridiculous. I can't believe it. And this place was packed. There must have been 2,000 or 3,000 people in this building, and they were applauding. And it's hard to believe, isn't it? It's hard to believe that in the year 2015, and everybody's got a Bible. It's not like we don't have Bibles. Yet people aren't reading their Bibles, because the people in the audience weren't reading their Bibles. If they don't know that all they have to do is pray when they need something, that's what we do. We pray. We don't give to get something. Giving is about love. But praying, we pray. And we ask. So it's like we're on another planet. And then, of course, we had the Planned Parenthood debacle that's been going on. And trust me, this has been going on for years. This is not new news. It just wasn't being reported. And then you notice, of course, I love animals. I think it's a tragedy that this man killed the lion, and there isn't any reason to shoot a lion, because you know they're not going to eat it. And so they made a bigger story out of the lion being killed than they did about the fact that Planned Parenthood was selling baby parts. And like I said, it's nothing new. Way back when they legalized abortion, they put a strain of aborted, and they call it fetal tissue, but it's really baby tissue. But they put aborted baby fetal tissue in vaccines. It's in many of the vaccines. It's a cell line. And if you go to look at the package ingredients, and all medicine usually comes with a package insert. So before you vaccinate your child, make sure that you read the package insert and you ask what's in it. It will say human diploid cells, and you can read the package inserts online, even on my website, propheticnews.com. You'll find a link to the vaccine ingredients. So that's another little dirty secret that the news doesn't report on. And so I wasn't shocked. There's also a company that is making flavor enhancers for food, and they're also using the same product, aborted baby fetal tissue, to make these flavor enhancers. I know it's hard to believe that. It's hard to believe, isn't it? But when you look at the state of the church and then you compare it to the state of the world, the remnant church has a very small voice. The other antichrist system that they call a church is the one that seems to be more visible. But we aim to change that, amen? We want to change that. And we want to tell people the truth about the gospel, what the Bible really says. And so we have to take a bold stand for truth and try to combat the error that seems to permeate the world today, especially as far as the church goes. But we have the sword of the Spirit. We have the word of God. And so we don't lose when we have truth, truth is powerful. So I'm going to bring my guest on now. This is the first time I've had my guest on my program. Hi, Michaela. Is that the way to say your name?
Hi, that is the way to say my name.
Yeah, it's a different spelling.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but
good morning.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you on.
Afternoon.
Yeah, really. Yeah, afternoon. But I'm so glad to have you on. Welcome, welcome. And you have a blog on the internet. Thank God, because we need more voices out there proclaiming the truth. We know, Michaela, that how Jesus saved us and how much he means to us. We could never repay him for saving us. And then even after we became Christians, getting involved, I myself was involved in the Word of Faith movement for 15 years. And I got out of it in 1997 and
wow.
Separated myself from those teachings. But you were involved in something very different, and I don't really know that much about John Paul Jackson, only that I had seen him on Daystar Network. Joni Lamb used to have him on quite a bit. And he seemed like a very nice man, very mild-mannered man. But I thought it was very odd because they would do these programs and they would devote sometimes an hour or half hour just to having people call in and interpreting their dreams,
right?
Which was very odd to me. But won't you give our audience a little bit of your background and about your blog?
Okay. So I was saved when I was 9 years old. I went to a Baptist church. I saw what was the Jesus movement in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s. I was very young still at that time. With that, it was like really amazing because the church grew in numbers and there was all these hippies, ex-hippies that came in and they were a lot of fun. And they had a lot of love. They had a lot of love and some good times. But pretty soon, there started to come a lot of false teaching. And it took me a long time to understand all of this, you know, many, many years later, where I was able to put it together. But because of the false teaching, our church split, and people who had known each other their entire lives were no longer speaking. And it was very ugly, and most of us kids, teenagers, were very angry, and most of us turned away from the Lord from that anger. And I would say that it's probably safe to say that a lot of my friends during that time have not come back to the Lord because of the things that happened then.
Wow.
And that's why, one of the reasons why it's so dangerous, especially to children, you know.
Yeah, it is, especially for the children, because adults, and what we should realize is that no matter what someone else does, it doesn't change who Jesus is. But I know people get hurt in churches, and they walk away from the Lord, which I don't understand, because what did God have to do with it? But like you said, for children, it's harder for them to understand that.
Right, right. And I remember being taught that demons could enter us through Christians. They would enter through our fingernails and our hair. Just bizarre things. It's just... I'm laughing at it now, but it's like crazy.
Who is he?
I don't even remember his name. It's been so many years. I can kind of see his face. I think his last name was Pinkerton. He was just some guy. It wasn't anybody that anybody, you know, knew. We didn't have a name.
But, oh dear. No, and the thing is, it's like, the Bible says that we have been delivered from the spirit of fear, that God has not given us the spirit of fear. But yet, we notice that in a lot of these movements, they put so much fear on people that you're always afraid. Like, imagine being afraid that a demon could come through your fingernails.
Exactly. Yeah, I haven't thought about that in a while. It just kind of popped in my head. But
well, it's still quite popular, the teaching, a lot of the teaching on demons. And they always like to give the demons more glory than they do the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like, poor Jesus, he doesn't have any power. And the devil has all this power, and he's everywhere. He's in everybody's house. You know, he's omnipresent, they want you to believe. But you know, none of that's true. Of course, I believe there is a devil. Yes, I believe there is a devil, and I believe that there is evil. But God is far more, is greater than the devil.
Exactly. Exactly. So somewhere along the line, I got into the word of faith, and I found pretty much like that seems to underline most everything that goes on anymore. Is word of faith is in everything. He's, you know, Bill Johnson in Reading, who's wrecking churches and people throughout the world, was word of faith to begin with, or somewhere in there.
Yeah. Well, who is Bill Johnson?
Bill Johnson has the church in Redding, California called Bethel.
Okay.
And he, once upon a time, he was I just went completely blank. He broke from the denomination that he was involved with. And that's just about happened just about the time that I started listening to him. So we're talking about 2003, we'll say, somewhere around in there, and he broke. It was the Assembly of God.
Oh, he was an Assembly of God.
Yes, he was Assembly of God, and they broke. And he is a teacher of a great many wrong teachings. And like I said, his basis is word of faith. He gets very much into the supernatural, as does John Paul Jackson, only in, you know, in a different way, where Johnson pretty much just preaches it. Jackson gets in and teaches how it's done. You know, it's a little bit different, but it all rolls together.
Yeah. So, did you attend his church, Bill Johnson?
No, because I was living in Washington at the time, but I was able to access a lot of his teachings. And the way I found out about Bill Jackson was by way of the Healing Rooms, which is actually the International Association of Healing Rooms, which is headed by Cal Pierce. And they're buddies, and their teachings are exactly the same.
So what are the Healing Rooms?
The Healing Rooms is another organization that's set up all over the world. They have these rooms pretty much everywhere anymore. The one I was involved in was in Vancouver, Washington. And it's all very strange. It's all set up on the basis that Cal Pierce teaches healing is in the atonement. So if we are saved, we should not be ever be sick. Nothing should ever bad happen to us. We should all be healed, and should have the power to heal others. He believes that one day all the hospitals are going to be emptied. It almost gets into, I almost want to call it a manifest sons of God type of an idea.
Yeah.
Because if you're never going to be sick, you're never going to die.
Yeah. Yeah. So is that basically what the manifest Sons of God teaches, that you don't
and
die?
I believe that that's more Rick Joyner, and I don't really know a whole lot about him, just in my research and his, you know, Todd Bentley and all that mess. But that's a lot of people believe. And some of the people that I went to the Vineyard, when I went to the Vineyard Church, they actually believe that one day we will embody Christ. The believers will live long enough to embody Christ.
Wow.
You know, and they won't die. And I heard a recorded prophecy from Bob Jones, who has recently passed away, that actually said that there are some people that were listening to his voice whose children would not die. They would overcome death. And those words there, overcome death, implies Christ, because he's the only one that has the power over death.
Yes.
But that's what they teach.
Wow. That's interesting, because that could even apply to people like Kenneth Hagin. I remember being in the Word of Faith. And of course, Kenneth Hagin died sick. He had a heart attack, and he wound up in ICU, and he died from a disease. So, but they used to teach that, and of course, we were the love people, and you know. But when somebody got sick, we were always trying to find out, like, what kind of demon they had or what they did wrong. How come they got sick?
Yes, exactly. We did that in the healing rooms. There's a huge list of things. You know, curses. Somebody could curse you. A witch could curse you.
Yeah.
Somebody said something bad about you. And it's just, it's horrible. And you actually stand there and watch people go into bondage, go to pieces. Because now they don't know what it is or how they're ever going to be free. Because you have to find that root, that cause.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good way
it's
to put
just,
it.
It's very dark and very, it's very demonic.
Yeah, it's
but
very
that's
demonic.
That's not what we're called to do.
No, no. And, of course, then when we were involved with Word of Faith, if anybody died, then we were really upset. Wow, they died. You know, they must have had a bad confession. And I would say this. Who sits at home and confesses, I want cancer. Give me cancer. I want some cancer. Does anybody do that?
I would hope not.
You know, but people in the Word of Faith movement got cancer. I think... Kenneth Hagin's son-in-law, Buddy Harrison, had cancer and he passed away. So how did he get cancer? Was he confessing that he wanted it? And that's another thing about that's so puzzling about the Word of Faith movement, because how do people get sick then? Do they stay home and confess that they want sickness? And that's how they got the sickness? So when you think about the whole thing, when you come out of it and you step away from it and you realize how awful it was and how wrong
exactly.
it was, how hurtful it was to people, because I remember when a couple that had been running a Bible college, the wife and the husband, they had a baby. And the baby died when the baby was about 2 days old. So, of course, all the Word of Faith people were saying, wow, why did the baby die? And what did they do wrong? And they were actually blaming the parents because
that's
the baby
horrible.
Died.
No. No.
Yeah. So when you were involved with the healing rooms and what did people come? Were the healing rooms inside the church? Explain that.
Some of them operate outside of, you know, with the church, in different rooms in the church. We had a couple of different locations. When I first joined, we had our own place. It was a building that was leased or loaned or whatever, you know. And then we lost that and we ended up going. And we were using the Vineyard Church where I had started to attend. So, you know, it's different for all the, you know, different rooms, different locations.
So
they're
did
pretty easy
John
to find
Wimber?
If you can Google them.
Oh, okay. John Wimber, did he have something to do with the healing rooms? Because he was the founder of the Vineyard, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. When he broke from, well, the way I understand it, he broke from Calvary Chapel. And I kind of knew about the Vineyard or about his teaching when I was very young, when I was talking about the Jesus movement. I think that's about the time all of that was taking place, or shortly thereafter when they broke off. But
yeah.
John Wimber, I don't know a whole lot about his teaching. Even though I attended the Vineyard, I never really read much of his stuff. But I do know he had the same wrong ideas about healing and different.
Yeah, and he also got cancer.
Yes.
And he was very
sick. Most of them will get sick and die because, you know, that's what we do. That's what happens.
you know, and the thing is, I'm 66 years old, and you can't stop the aging process. You wish you could, but,
yes.
You know, it's real. So, but they seem to It's really, really odd because they don't seem to live in the real world.
No, they really don't. They've developed their own way of believing, and that's just, it just seems to overtake them. And that's pretty much what happened with me as well. You just kind of, you get swept up. You don't really understand what's happening or why it's happening, but it is. And then you have other people around you that are just going, wow, look at that, you know, and on you go. And it becomes more and more.
Yeah, and it when I think about being 15 years with that movement, and believing the things that I believed, I think to myself, now how did that happen to me? Because I was born again in 1981 in Colorado and had a miraculous salvation experience, and was in a little Baptist church up in the mountains of Redstone. And then I heard about the charismatic church down the road, so I wanted to go there. And then I started getting involved in all that. And I love the Lord so much, and I wanted to do the right thing. But yet, I got involved in all these wrong teachings. And I think to myself, how did that happen? But I thank God that I got myself out of it through study of the Word, spending time in the Word of God myself, so that I found out when I started reading through the Bible, which I was doing anyway, but when I started reading through it without the filter of Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland, mm-hmm. and then I started to realize that so many of the things that I believed were not true and really were hurtful.
Right. Yes.
So with you, now, how did you get involved with John Paul Jackson? For some of the listeners that don't know who he was, could you explain a little bit about that and who he was?
I think it happened because I was one of those people who dream. I dream a lot. I dream big, long dreams that last all night. And I don't know why. And I was telling this to somebody that was in, you know, I was in love with the healing rooms, and I had a lot of respect for him, and I was explaining this dream to him, and he, you know, he didn't know what it meant, and he said, well, I think you really, this is probably a gift that you have, and you need to go to some classes and, you know, honor God in this gift and learn how to interpret dreams. And so by way of another friend, I found out about John Paul Jackson, and I didn't really know anything about him before. So, there were some classes being held in Oregon, in Portland. And so we went, and, you know, I paid a couple hundred dollars or whatever it was, and I took two of his courses. I believed that I was going to be taught how to interpret dreams by way of the Bible, by using the Word. And that's not what it is. Before I get into all this, I want to say this is an area that I never really exposed on my blog. I talked a lot about other things. But I kind of pushed this away, and I got rid of all of my resources, so I didn't, when you and I talked, I didn't have anything to go grab a hold of.
Yeah.
I did, so I really didn't get into that on my blog. When he passed away recently, I put a note up that he had passed away, and I called him a false prophet, I believe. And I was actually very sad that he had died, and I put that up. And
it was sad, because he was young. He was still in his 60s.
And the backlash I got from that was enormous. I've never had so many people say so many horrible things to me, and I actually had to go running to my friends like,
really? Just because you said you were sad he died?
Bad.
Human compassion. You know, we don't have to. Wow, that's strange. But you know, now. What's interesting is, why do people want their dreams interpreted?
Well, you know,
they can't really trust your dreams 100%.
Right. You know? You can't. And this goes back into what you were saying. We all have a Bible, but we haven't been taught to read the Bible. Or if we do, we just read it to prove, you know, what we're being taught is right, and that's
yeah.
not the way it's supposed to happen at all. But
yeah.
But
John Paul Jackson, because I guess he was around for a while, but I didn't really know about him when I was in Word of Faith. I never heard of him. Of course, I got out in 97, but then I only probably the past 2 or 3 years or so had seen him on the Daystar Network, because Joni Lamb used to feature him a lot.
Yes.
And I was shocked by people calling in. I had this dream, and then he would interpret their dreams.
He pretty much believed that all of our dreams can be interpreted. Anybody can dream. Anybody can interpret. Everybody's receiving messages from God, which is none. I don't believe that that's true in its entirety. He also teaches and believes that people that don't know the Lord are being talked to. You know, and they have these groups that get together for the purposes of interpreting dreams. And I've heard them then, or, you know, somebody who doesn't know the Lord will come to their gathering and ask to have their dream interpreted, and they will do that for them and not even give them the gospel, not even a little smidge of it. Just, this is what God thinks about you. And oftentimes it goes back to be about the person, just like in false prophecy. It's all about the person and not about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Not about a repentance, not about the gospel at all.
Yeah, and now that sounds to me like witchcraft, that they have
right.
these sessions where people come and you tell them their future. That's what
right.
it sounds like to me. I mean,
yes, and I've even had it explained that gift that they have, like the psychics, is
yeah.
the same gift that God gives to his people. They just don't realize it's the same gift, which isn't true.
No.
And it's very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
I would say it's the same spirit or type of spirit operating through the psychics as it does in the false prophetic, but not in the true gift, the prophetic.
I would have to agree, because the fact that people would want to draw attention to themselves, number one, because whenever you claim that I'm a dream interpreter, or you see many people doing this today where they call themselves a prophet and they give personal prophecies. So people flock to these kind of things. And it's very dangerous for people to be, first of all, running after you, like you're some great one. And then for these people to be allowing that, because you have to really have a lot of pride to let people lift you up and treat you like you're some special one. And
right.
that's not the gospel. That's not, we're supposed to be lifting up Jesus Christ and then having people go to Jesus. If you want a word, go to Jesus and get a word. Open up the Bible.
Word.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you'll always get a good word when you open up your Bible, always. But for some reason, people want to go chasing after human beings like they have something. And I can make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can be wrong.
Yeah, I can be wrong.
And that's one of the things that I found as well, you know, after I came out of it and I started to really try to understand what had happened. And that's the one of the things that I noticed, that I was operating in pride.
Yeah.
And we all did it. We didn't realize we were. We just thought, you know, honestly, I love the Lord and I wanted to do something for the Lord. And I think that desire, that it gets pushed in the wrong direction. You just become too much focused on wanting to do the thing rather than getting out of the way and letting him do what he needs to do, if that
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah, that's
unless
very
you caught
true.
Up in...
That's very true. We tried to take the place of Jesus in people's lives. And that's the one thing I that frightened me when I started coming out of the Word of Faith. I think it frightened me more than anything was my mother had a friend and she was sick. And I a big part of the ministry that I had was I would hold healing meetings, and I, people would come and they'd get in a line and I'd lay hands on them. And so her friend wanted me to pray for her. And she was like trying to touch my hands and everything. And it really upset me. And I said to her, I said, look, I don't have anything to, you know, I can pray for you, but I can't heal you. I don't have anything. And it really bothered me because I realized that people were looking at me like I had something that I could give them, that I had some kind of power, and that scared me. And I told the Lord after that, I said, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not laying hands on anybody anymore. I believe in the laying on of hands, but I said, for me, for right now, I'm not doing it anymore. And I'm taking myself out of public ministry because I'm going to examine everything that I've been taught. I'm going to examine everything I believed. I believe I was born again. I know. You can't take that away from me because I know Jesus changed my life and he gave me a brand new life. That I never questioned. But as far as the teachings and the kind of ministry that I had, I said, if I never have any kind of public ministry again, I don't care because I will never go back to ministering to people unless I have it straight.
Right.
So.
Right.
You know, because you can really hurt people.
Yeah, you can.
And we want to minister out of a pure heart. We want to turn people to the Lord, depend on him for everything. Because he's the only one that can help us. He is the only one that can help us. So, and tell us if you want to, you know, if you want
sure.
to tell us a little bit more about John Paul Jackson and
like I said, I didn't know anything really about him until I just went in and took his teachings. Later, after I came out of this, I came to understand something, you know, about you've probably heard of the Kansas City Prophets. He was one of those.
Oh, okay. So that's where he basically got his start?
Yeah, that's where he got his start. And when they were found to be wrong, John Wimber got a hold of John Paul Jackson and said, come this way and I'll help you understand better. And apparently that didn't happen. You know, the blind led the blind and they both fell into the ditch, so to speak. So, anyway, that's some roots, and there's lots of information on the internet about that.
About about both of them being kind
yeah,
of
the Kansas City
together.
Prophets and how all that worked together.
Yeah, so that's basically dissolved now, isn't it?
Yeah,
because some of them passed away.
Some of them went off to do their own thing. Yeah. But under John Paul Jackson, you're going to hear names like Barbie Breathitt. I'm not sure that I'm saying her last name right, Breathitt. She has the same type of ministry, you know, if you want to call them ministries, organizations.
Yeah.
For interpreting dreams. And Doug Addison is another one. John Paul Jackson, he teaches lots of different supernatural things. He teaches about dreams and visions. He teaches about very dangerous, how to hear the voice of God, you know, goes with the understanding that none of us can really hear God for ourselves, which is not true. But he has a whole teaching on that, all kinds of different things about the prophetic. So under the supernatural, he gets very much, like I said, into the dreams and visions, trances, levitation.
Oh, really?
He believes that we have the power to levitate. He believes that we have the power, yes, to walk through walls, to do what he calls, the word he uses is translation, which really is another word for astral projection.
Yeah.
And he's very big into the throne room, going to the throne room.
Did he say that he was in the throne room?
Yes, he used to have a blog called Coffee Talk, and it's not around anymore. It's been taken down. And I remember reading some years back about his experience when he went to the throne room and the things that he described, how it looked and how it felt and all these different things. And, you know, but going to heaven is a big deal with a lot of these teachers. And they believe that we have the ability to go to heaven, that we have every right to go to heaven. And
now that's interesting, because doesn't the Bible say that no man has seen God? And so how do they justify that? And don't people ask them, how come you say you're in the throne room?
they do get asked, but they just kind of play it off like, wow, it's just something that we're supposed to be able to do. And they go, and I didn't look up the scripture, but I believe it was Paul that was talking about or had made mention, and it was really just a mention of somebody who had an experience but wouldn't discuss it. So these people will have that kind of an experience, but they'll come back and they want to tell you all about it, and they want to sell you material happened to you.
And it
turns into a big money-making operation.
But the thing is now, what do you think about this? Because to me, I would think that these people weren't ever really saved, because how could they say that they went to heaven? I mean, how could they make all this up if they really know God?
That's something that I can't really get around myself. You know, I've asked myself and asked myself. One of the things I had a hard time understanding was the fact that they would come in the name of the Lord. They would talk about Jesus. They would even, you know, basic gospel, basic, you know, but then they would teach about something else completely out of line of scripture. And it was actually an article by Bob DeWay that helped me understand that, you know, there's a scripture in there that says that only the people who are believers, or if you're testing it out, then and they would admit that Jesus is the Son of God, that type of thing. So we just kind of get trapped into that thinking that because they're admitting, yes, Jesus is the Son of God, they're okay. But that's not really true, because once they admit that, then they do things that are not biblical. And that's what we need to look at. That's the dividing line right there. After they say Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is Savior, you know, Jesus is the Son of God, that type of thing, the basics, now they're teaching the occult. And that's really what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, so word really, of faith word of faith does not come from the Bible. Word of faith comes from the law of attraction. It has nothing to do with the Bible.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. It comes out of Christian Science. And there's a whole history in an excellent book that really helped me. I think the book is called A Different Gospel by McConnell. It's either A Different Gospel. And this man McConnell, he was at ORU, and I think this was his master's thesis or his doctorate thesis that he did on the history of the Word of Faith movement. And he documents that Kenyon actually attended these mind science schools, and how Hagen plagiarized Kenyon, and almost word for word, and then Hagen denies it, after I read that book, and it was somewhere, I think about 1995 or whatever, when someone gave it to me, and I couldn't deny it. I couldn't deny what the man had found out. I couldn't deny the research. That's why I think it's very important for people to write books, to document things for history's sake, for research sake, because I didn't do that research. I couldn't have done the research that McConnell did. And it's the same thing with you. I didn't have your experience. I didn't really know that much about John Paul Jackson. I didn't know that much about this whole dream interpretation movement. But that you were there. So I think it's important for people to write it down, the importance of your blog being out there, for people to to go there and to hear your testimony. I think it's so important. And I hope that people that listen to my broadcast can do the same. Do something for Jesus Christ. We all have a mouth. It's free to preach the gospel in that sense, is to open our mouth or to get a radio program on Blog Talk Radio or to get a website, which anybody could have nowadays, and to share your testimony, because I'm sure your testimony has helped many, many people out there that were involved in the same thing you were involved in.
Yeah, that's very true. And every time I get a comment back on my blog about that, it just makes me get teary, because to me, it's amazing God is still pulling people out of all of this. And a lot of people, they tell me that. They just say, you know, I knew this was wrong, but I just needed somebody to show me where it was wrong.
And that's very true.
There it is. When I started to realize the things that I was involved in was wrong, I didn't have anybody, I did not have a person to go to. There was nobody, and I had to start searching it out on my own, and it was very scary. It was very scary, you know. But
yeah, and that's where thank you, Jesus, that he delivered us. That's why I know there's hope, even for some of these so-called Bible teachers and people we see on TV, that maybe, you know, God can rescue some of them out of the pit of destruction and save their souls before it's too late. Because sometimes people say, well, why do you talk about this and why do you talk about these people? Well, because most of them are on their way to hell, and hell is real. Hell is hot, and hell is forever. So just like somebody had to point out some things to me, and maybe at the time I didn't like it, but I took it to heart, and I examined myself, and I went and checked it out for myself, and now I can say I'm grateful that somebody rebuked me. That's why we do it. We do it because there's people out there, and I was the same way. And then I thank God that I got on the internet sometime around, I don't know, 2003 or 2004. And I started seeing, wow, there was a lot of people that felt like me and thought like me, and that it was really a grassroots movement. It was a small movement, but yet it was a powerful movement, because we were like, we knew the truth. We knew about the deception, and we could help other people and help save other people from having to go through that, because you were saved at 9, I was 31, and I had to go through all that for all those years. I wish I didn't have to go through that.
Right.
You know?
But we do. But the amazing thing is, then God can turn it around and use it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how God is. Yeah, he can turn around and really use it to help people to realize the goodness of God, how gracious God is to answer our prayers, to be there for us. And we don't have to have all these fears and these bondages that some of these false teachers put you in. But getting back to this whole thing about John Paul Jackson going to the throne room, how does he make this stuff up?
I honestly don't know. And I think there's probably some people who are lying, and I think there's some people who actually have these things happen. They're just in the wrong throne room. You're not in heaven. You're not allowed to go there.
No.
There's nothing in Scripture that tells us that we can go back and forth, but there's books out there being told or telling stories of people who have done that And it's just not true. And people get caught up because it's such a fantastic experience to have. And, you know, they'll say, well, why wouldn't God want us to experience this? Because God has a reason.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
So.
That's very, very interesting. So the thing is, we want people to know that, yes, the devil is a liar, number one. He is a liar. And a lot of these people are liars. They're just outright liars. And so if they could lie to you about Jesus, then they are not to be trusted. And the Bible says that we're to mark those that cause division among us. We're to mark those people and to avoid them. We're to avoid them and to warn other people to avoid them because it's dangerous. You could really be in some big trouble with God.
Right.
By involving yourself in the occult. And like you said, it is the occult. And a lot of these people, I think, even infiltrate churches and they pretend that they're Christians. It's one of the ways I think that the devil works is that he has these people out there that are deceivers. And it looks good. They look good. They come to you with those smooth words. And they just aim to deceive.
Right.
So when you were involved in the movement with, did you meet John Paul Jackson?
No, I never met him. They have classes set up that are done, you know, with other people. They just go in and teach his stuff.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And
so you get booklets and that kind of thing.
We get the books. And then he has dream cards, you know, these laminated cards. This is another issue that have all different types of symbols or things that you will see in dreams. Numbers, colors, whatever you could possibly think of or imagine, they're on these cards that you can buy to help you understand how to dream, how to interpret the dreams.
Yeah.
So if you have, you know, I don't know, dream of a whale, there's a whale in your dream, and you look at the card, the whale, and it'll tell you the meaning of a whale.
Oh, yeah, I have a friend that has a book like that, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you go Google, you can buy dream cards from anybody. It is not biblical. It's not. They're not supposed to be sold under the name of the Lord. It's just, you know. But there's a lot of money. You get the money involved. You get following. You become famous. And so many people are being deceived and are just running with this. So, you know, what I did really is I sat down and I thought it would be good to look at the scriptures, what they say about dreams and visions, and so I pulled out, you know, several examples that we could look at to prove what we're saying is true.
Yeah.
Because God speaks to his people. In the Bible, from the very beginning, God is speaking to his people. We don't need anybody to teach us how that's done. We don't need anybody to interpret things for us because it's proven through the Word of God. He does this already for us if we're willing. You know, we have to be open to him.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you go back to Genesis 28, we have the story of Jacob and Jacob's ladder, and everybody knows what that is. So there he is. He's out in the wilderness, and he falls asleep. He goes asleep, and he sees God in a dream. And God identifies, I am. And then he goes through, and he's just speaking to him, and he's really reiterating what has already been told to Abraham. So he identifies himself to Jacob. He gives him this message that's clear, plain language. I almost said English, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So he's able to understand it. And when Jacob wakes up, he's amazed. He even says, God is in this place, and I didn't know it. And he dedicates the place to God, where he gets the stones and piles them up and calls the place Bethel, the house of God or the place of God.
Uh-huh.
So right there, very simply, you know, we see that, you know, God can speak to us in our dreams, and he can be very clear about what he wants to say. Right?
Yeah. But we don't need anybody to interpret it for us.
Right. He didn't need to go around to anybody.
Yeah. I had this dream, and I wonder why. And oh yeah, then you take out the book and the cards, and nah.
Right.
No, I mean, I've had dreams, and I had a dream one time a few years ago where I saw, I had a friend that was a very bad alcoholic, terrible alcoholic, and couldn't help the person. And I had a dream that they were in a coffin. And when I woke up, I was so scared because I saw this person in a coffin. And God allowed me to help the person by going to a doctor. And I had a doctor that was a friend of mine. He was a Baptist, really nice man. And I went and I visited the doctor, and I told him, I said, well, this person wants to come to the office and have an examination, but they're an alcoholic, so would you tell them? And he said, yeah, sure, I'll tell him, I'll warn him. And so I was able to help the person in that sense, but I certainly didn't go to anybody else about what did the dream mean, and this symbol and this symbol. God can't show you things in a dream. But I don't spend a lot of time on, interpreting dreams and my visions, because if you remember too, Kenneth Hagin, he had a book. The book is still for sale. I believe in visions or whatever, and he claims that he had 7 experiences with the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus appeared to him 7 times and gave him these messages. So that's a little scary, but so okay. What are the other scriptures?
So there's that one. There's also the one in Matthew with Joseph and Mary, when Mary was pregnant, and Joseph was going, not going to have anything to do with that. And then he had a dream, and the angel spoke to him and gave him, again, there it is, it's clear instruction of what's going on, what he's to do. And he didn't need to go to anybody and ask, is this true? He was just told, and he knew what he needed to do, and he did it.
Yeah.
And for it, see, and we're also going to see it in these dreams, is that there's a great cause that's happening. This was about Jesus. This was part of prophecy,
Yeah, right. It was about Jesus. Yeah.
Right.
There's so much that, like you said, if we would go to the Word of God and we would study God's Word and stop running around for somebody else to tell us something, we know that the Bible has a place for counsel, godly counsel, and don't we love to be with the saints, and we love to talk with the saints, and we love to be uplifted, and we like to share with people of like mind. That's always good. But ultimately, we have to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in His Word. Thank God for His Word, because we can't go wrong with that.
Exactly. And we're really lost without it.
Lost.
We really are.
Now, explain about your blog. How long have you been doing it?
I started the blog, I believe it was in 2008.
Oh.
2009. I came out of this stuff in 2008. And then I just really felt that I need to speak the truth. What I had done is I sat down, once I realized what was going on, and I started to study the Bible, and the Lord really started to show me things. I sat down and wrote a letter that was directed to the healing rooms, the members of the healing rooms team that I was a part of, because I was in leadership there. I ended up being what they call their lead intercessor, and I was also their associate director the last 6 months.
Oh, like, for the whole organization?
Just for the one in Vancouver.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like once I stepped into that role of intercessor, weird things started happening. It's, you know, people want you to step up and fill these roles and, you know, take over. And once you do, then you're not doing it right. And I'm like, I'm not a front, I'm not an upfront person. I don't like to speak in front of people. I just really have a hard time. I struggle praying with people, especially in large groups. And now you want me to put me, you want to put me in a position where I have to lead prayer.
Yeah.
And with being an intercessor, they believe, and because I was already considered to have the gift of prophecy and then this gift with the dreams and interpreting dreams and visions and all of that, you know, well, now I'm what they call a seer prophet, you know, so now I have this thing and they want to use this, you know. So
oh,
I had this
yeah.
great responsibility, and it just got really ugly after that. It just became this big spiritual battle, and then I started to, you know, question, what am I doing? What's really going on? What does this mean? There was a lot of really horrific nightmare-type experiences. They were fun at the time. They seemed really cool, and we're having a great time, but looking back, they were awful. You know, where it was very clear demonic activity that we
yeah.
believe to be the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So coming out of it was really awful. It was really, really awful. But I did. And so once that happened, like I said, I sat down and I started compiling all this information, and I started to look at, I think I took about 5 key teachings or things that we believed in the healing rooms, and I pulled them apart using the Bible. And I ended up with a 17-page letter that I mailed out or emailed out.
Oh, so you sent the letter to the
yes.
leaders?
Yeah,
did they ever respond?
Every team member. Not really.
Oh.
Everybody on the team got it, so it wasn't just the leaders. It was everybody.
That's interesting that because usually they're real big on defending themselves, and they always have a lot to say, but yet they won't engage in dialogue for the most part. And, you know, they should have answered the letter
yeah.
or said, okay, maybe let's talk about it. Maybe there is something I'm doing wrong. Maybe there is something wrong.
No, I think I mentioned to you, it was actually Todd Bentley that opened my eyes. And it was just crazy how it happened. That's when he was doing his Lakeland. So here's Todd Bentley with a so-called healing ministry, and he's treating people violently, kicking them, knocking them down, and
yeah.
just full-on rude. And I'm like, okay, wait, we don't treat people that way. I was appalled.
Yeah.
You know, and I went to some people, you know, in the healing rooms and you know, the leaders and stuff, and my response to that was, I must have a wound of my own that needs to be healed. There's, you know, and that's one of the things that you're going to get told.
Right? They always put the blame back on you. Yeah, you must have something deep. Rejection. Oh, you must have a spirit of rejection.
Or coming back, you know, going back to the word of faith, that's the man of God. Don't speak against the man of God.
No,
he's got
us.
You don't do that.
No. No, that's it. We were so robotic that, oh, if we were to question something, like, yeah, we couldn't even question it because, oh, that was God's anointed. So they use all these forms of manipulation and hypnotism and whatever that, oh, no. And who could, when I looked at Todd Bentley, when he came on the scene, and I'm looking at this guy, and I'm thinking, this guy is a weirdo. Wait a minute. This guy is weird. And who gets saved and then tattoos their whole body and puts an earring in their chin and one in their lip? And, you know, who does that?
Yeah.
And
he didn't have that before.
No, he didn't have it before. No, that's what really got me, is I'm thinking, wow, this poor guy, you know, he must have done all this before he got saved. And then I found that he didn't do that until, supposedly, after he got saved, he did all that to himself. And then he says that he raised the dead. Somebody got raised from the dead at his meeting. And, you know, the church where he was at, I don't know if he was at Carpenter's church, but that church got bulldozed that big church in Lakeland, the 9,000 seat sanctuary, was recently demolished. It was bulldozed. And so when I was looking at this whole phenomenon of Todd Bentley, and I'm thinking, like, what Christian can look at this guy and take him seriously? And then again, like you said, he was kicking people and pushing people and abusing people the way he was talking to them and everything. And I'm thinking, this is not of God. And I had some of my friends, they got really angry with me. Oh, don't talk about Todd Bentley. No, he's a man of God. He had somebody raised from the dead. No, he didn't. He did not.
Right. Did not. And the reason why we know is, and this is really hard for people, like I was talking, you know, before, here he comes in the name of the Lord, you know, and he probably gets the basics right, you know, if he ever mentions them anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
But then it's what he does after that. And that's what Jesus warned in Matthew 24, many will come in my name and will deceive.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's what he said, that will be a sign of his coming. And that's what we're seeing now. It's like so many people are coming in his name, and, you know, in different ways, in different methods. And they use the name of Jesus Christ. But then what they're teaching is what we were warned about later on as the other Jesus or as the other gospel.
The other Jesus, yeah. Because it is another Jesus. It is another Jesus. And it is another gospel. And I've never seen anything like it. I have never in my 30, going on 34 years of knowing the Lord, I've never seen anything quite like what we're seeing now. Nothing.
Exactly. It's really wild.
It's really wild.
Everywhere
and I think,
turn, I have people on my blog that come to me and say, where do you go to church? Because I can't find a church anymore. And it's really happening. You can hardly go into a church and find real teaching.
That's very, very true. That's very, very true. And I have a friend of mine in Pennsylvania, and you know, she's trying to get her life right and be a Christian. And I was thinking, I don't know where I could send her. Who could I trust with her at this point, especially
right.
when they're new in the Lord and they're so, they're like a sponge at that time. And they can get hurt so easy too in church when they're young like that. So it is, you know, thank God for the internet, because there is, there's so much information out there and there's so much good information out there. And there's so many good ministries like your blog and the other people that are out there. So I'm interested now to hear more about when you came out and then you were sending the letters out, and then basically did you lose most of your friends?
Oh, yeah. But at the same time, it's like that was okay because we no longer had anything in common.
Yeah.
And I found that the people that I hung out with, and we, I was on the prophetic team with the Vineyard, so we took these trips to different churches and went around. And the people that I was with, we really didn't have a relationship outside of doing that. And they found it very hard. Suddenly, like, nobody wanted to get together. You know how you get together and go to lunch, you know, we're girls.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you get together with your husbands and have dinner or whatever. And it's like, nobody really wanted to do that. And I, you know, you stand back and watch really what was going on. It was like, we're all after the anointing. So we're, you know, going off to the church and spending all this time in worship for hours and hours. And you're falling down and manifesting and being all weird. And
that's what
everybody was after, because it becomes like an addiction and you can't break from it. And, you know, then you go back to the scriptures and it's really not, that doesn't happen. You know, God doesn't whack people around. He doesn't knock them down to the ground. He doesn't make them jerks.
I know, you're so right. I remember back in, I think it was 92 or 93, when Rodney Howard Brown, he came to our town, and he came to our church, and it was 30 days of insanity. He stayed 30 days at the church, which
Wow.
It wasn't too long after that that the church closed up. And then he went to Lakeland. And he filled that building in Lakeland, and it 9,500 seats. He filled it. He filled it.
Oh, yeah.
And he filled it day after day. I don't know what he was snorting or what, because he'd have a morning service and it would go on for 3 or 4 hours. Then he'd have an evening service that started at 7, and sometimes it would go on till midnight or after midnight. And I don't know how they did it, and it day after day after day after day. But like you said, it's like an addiction.
Yeah.
You get addicted to entertainment, so to speak, because it's almost a form of entertainment. And watching people, now when I think about it, and I think about people walking on all fours and writhing like snakes and the things they were doing, and I think, how did I ever think that that had anything to do with God?
Exactly. Well, they believe it's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And it comes from a misunderstanding. This is another thing that really got my eyes open to, is a misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit, who he is, how he operates, you know? And so what I ended up doing is doing a study and a reading of John 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus is teaching his disciples about the Comforter, about the one who's to come when he leaves. And that's, you go through all of that, and it will explain who the Holy Spirit is and how he works in the life of a believer, you know, how he leads us into all truth, how he will convict the world of sin, you know. And there's nothing in there that talks about being knocked around.
No.
Knocked to the floor. I mean, you have to think about that thing of being slain in the Spirit. Being slain in the Spirit's not biblical. People, God didn't knock people to the floor to talk to them. He stood them up. They were visited by angels. They were afraid they would fall down. The angel would stand them up and say, don't be afraid, and would give the message.
Yeah.
But nowhere did God knock women to the ground where they would have to have their legs or their bottoms covered. We're talking about a holy God. He would not do that.
They used to come with the cloth.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, well, it's a real ceremony. They still do it. I guess human beings, maybe we like to be together. We like the crowd. We like the show, because there was always a show. You know, there was usually always good music, and then the performances were with the falling and the jerking and the prophecies, and so I think it's probably part of our the carnal nature we're still trying to work out is God's still working on us. He's still trying to work the works of the flesh. If I would go back and listen to some of my sermons back in the day, and then I think, who was this person? You know, you don't realize how much pride is really attached to public ministry. It can be. And you don't realize it until after you come out of it, that a lot of that and a lot of people telling you how great you are and what a great ministry you are, and like you, they were flattering you with the fact that you had this gift. And we hear people say, don't believe your own press. That's when it's dangerous, when you start believing your own press. And so there's a whole, it's like, it's another world, this whole ministry thing that people have perpetuated, the don't touch God's anointed, and this person has a special anointing and they have a special gift, and it's another world. It's not really the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not really the way the Bible teaches things. God's exactly. Not into lifting up people and personalities. So I'm just glad for myself that I got out of all that mess. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, it's truly a deliverance.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that's why it's important to go back to the Bible and just to learn to read it for yourself and understand what it's saying.
Yeah.
You know, like with this, with the dreams, it's, you know, if you go back and read the different stories and how God was speaking to people through in the dreams, like I had started with us, you can see you don't need anybody to help you understand.
No.
You know, because God gives that gift. He gives wisdom. It's biblical. He gives wisdom and discernment. Those are gifts, and he gives them.
Yes, freely.
And he gives, you know, there's freely. A story in Daniel, and it points out that Daniel was given this gift of interpretation, dream interpretation. He had that understanding to know them, to be able to tell them back. But it came,
yeah, but of course we know also what they don't tell you.
God.
Yeah, what they don't tell you is that nobody was born again at the time, and all born again believers have the Holy Spirit. So. That's the difference. That's the difference.
Yeah.
And we can all hear from God for ourselves.
Exactly.
You know, we don't have a prophet and a priest.
Exactly. That's very true.
Yeah.
And that's where they're really cutting out the work of the cross again. And
yeah.
I've noticed that. I've noticed that a lot when I go back and read or listen. It's like, where did Jesus go? Like when you go back to the throne room experience, where's Jesus in that? You know, a lot of the false prophets of the NAR, like Cindy Jacobs and Chuck Pierce, you know, you listen to the things that they say. It's like, where's Jesus?
Yeah.
And a lot of them, they revert back to the Old Testament, you know.
Yeah, they do,
Old Testament ways and teachings And that's good to an extent, but you have at some point Jesus has to come back into that because that's the whole purpose.
That's the whole purpose.
Why he died.
Yeah, we have a New Testament. We have a New Testament now, and so those days of having the prophet and the priest and all those things, we don't have that because the Bible says that we're all. What's the scripture where you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation? So it's it is the priesthood of all believers in that sense, and our high priest, Jesus Christ, and his finished work on the cross, and the fact that we have his word, we have the Holy Spirit. So we have everything that we need to get us through this life. And to bring other people to him, because that's the most important thing. But the people that are involved in these false movements, they like to draw the attention to themselves.
Yes.
And they don't mind
like the Pharisees.
That. Yeah. 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 And then I find that, like for instance, when you hear Kenneth Copeland, he's always like the big love person. But yeah, don't cross him. Don't cross him because he'll show you what kind of love he really has. And that's the same thing with your situation where no matter how much they talked about love, when you sent out the letter and nobody, all these people you knew and they knew you and they didn't even respond, what kind of love is that?
Right.
So,
well, it goes back to now I'm coming against them and they're being attacked by the enemy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is Satan. You know,
yeah.
This is not the Lord speaking. You know, what does Michaela know? She's wrong. Somehow she's in a deception.
Yeah.
Where, you know, right, I can take, this is what you're teaching, and very, in, very plainly say, this is what the Bible says. You know, it's just.
Yeah. I know. I only had one person in all the years I've been on, 6 years now, that we had done a few programs about Jonathan Cahn. I had a brother on, Dave James, and he did a lot of research on this whole Harbinger thing and the Shemitah and all that. And then very informative, very, very well-educated Bible teacher. Jonathan Cahn was the only one that ever responded and said he wanted to come on and refute what Dave James had to say. But nobody else has ever, and they're welcome to come on if they want to come on and discuss what the Bible says and then discuss what they're teaching. They can do that, but they won't. They won't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we see that in situation after situation where instead of saying, well, maybe she's got something that we need to take to heart. And hopefully maybe some of them will. You know, some of them will pay attention to what you said.
Well, you know, there's also these people that go to conferences like, for instance, like I'm just going to use Randy Clark as an example, because the man who I was part of the healing room with, he went to a Randy conference, and that's how he got saved. So, you know, Randy Clark is another very, very false teacher. I mean, I heard him speak in person, him and Bill Johnson. Nice guys. They just seem to be so nice and humble, but what they're teaching is just wrong. So, I think that people can get saved under wrong teachings just by the basics of it. But once, if you can't come out of the false teaching end of it, then you're going to follow that other Jesus, and that's what you're going to believe, and that's what you're going to teach other people.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. That's why we always have to point people back to the Word of God and not to what we're saying. But
yeah.
Check out what we're saying with God's word. If it lines up, then fine. But if it doesn't line up, then
yes.
Throw it out. Just
right.
You don't need that friend so bad. If they don't, if they're not willing to say, okay, a good friend could say to you, well, I don't agree with that. We can disagree. We can still be friends. And so a good friend will say, okay, yeah, I'll check that out. I'll read the scriptures for myself and I'll find out. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, we would hope. We would hope it would come to that.
Yeah. But that's the intent.
That's the intent.
Right. Because that's what friendship is about. Talking and going over ideas, beliefs, and you can still be friends and not agree. But I found too that after I took myself out of those false teachings, most of the people that I knew, I would say 99% of the people that I knew at that time of my life, I don't hear from those people anymore. And they're the same way. They'll say, oh, yeah, she probably got wounded somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's not it. You know, I wasn't wounded. I just realized the thing that wounded me was that I realized that I had believed another gospel. That's what wounded me.
Exactly.
And
it's a denial of Christ.
Yeah. And that I had, hopefully I didn't lead anyone away from Jesus. I always put my emphasis on Jesus Christ, thank God. And, a lot of these word of faith teachings and, they can really turn people away from the real Lord Jesus Christ, away from his goodness and his mercy. And so that's the dangerous part, is thank God that you have your blog and you were able to go there and you were able to repent for the false teachings and for people to see that. It's so good for people to see that. And I think we need to see more of that in public ministry, where they can admit that they were wrong about things. People are very forgiving. Very forgiving.
So, and I have to say, coming out of that, God, and this is going back to the dreams and visions, it's kind of funny in a way, because I was having all these dreams, and so many of them I didn't understand, even with the dream cards, and hours, like, I couldn't put it together. And it was after I came out of all that, I understood my dreams, and what it was, God was warning me of what I was involved in, because I kept seeing myself in situations, like I would be under the influence of drugs in a dream. And it's like, well, I don't do drugs. Why am I dreaming that way? Or I would find myself walking into a room where there were these really scary people. And this is kind of funny. It's like vampires were in the room. And I don't know, stuff out of horror movies like that. And I'm like, what does that mean? But that's the way that the Lord was teaching me, because I understood after I came out of it and my eyes were open, I understood what he was trying to tell me.
Yeah.
You know, my last dream that I had, there was like, I was standing in this great room and there was this pedestal that had two arms on it, and on each side was a crystal ball. And I knew that if I picked up that crystal ball and held it, that in the dream I had this power. I could do that gift or whatever, I could operate in it. But as soon as I laid that down, I could no longer. This was like at the very end, and I really believe that God was telling me, you already know the truth. You already know you're playing around with the occult with something you shouldn't be, and you just better leave it alone. And it was so powerful. I will probably not forget the rest of my life. So, yeah, he does speak to us in dreams. It's just a matter of being able to hear him, you know, but we don't need to spend all this money on resources or have other people interpret our dreams for us. He can do it. And the dreams and the proof is in the scriptures, you know, and the people like I was talking about earlier in Joseph. Daniel is another great one. But they're always going back and telling you, it says in the scriptures, that God gives the dreams, God interprets the dreams. And I believe it was Daniel that even spoke that this knowledge is not in me, it's in God.
Yeah.
And so the dream is, you know, told and understood, and then great things happen after that. And it's just amazing. It brings me to tears when I read how God is really trying to reach people and speak to them.
Yeah. Oh, and, always.
Yeah.
He's always trying to draw us back to him. And that's the beauty of some of these people. No, they are not born again. They have never really been born again. And we know that. But then there are some, like us, that have really experienced the saving grace of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And we know that we know that we know that we have been born again. We are saved. And that's why we were able to come out, because we had a real relationship with Jesus Christ, even in spite of the error that we got ourselves into, the fact that we really loved God and that we were open to hearing the voice of God. We were open to the correction of God. And so that's what saved us out of this pit. Like you said, you see these crystal balls and then you realize, oh my God, and you fall down on your knees and you hear, God, what have I done? You know? So we hope and we pray that some of the people that are involved in these movements would see the same thing, that they would draw nigh unto God, that they would repent before the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would publicly repent before the whole world of their error. And that would be so. Hope is that people will repent, and if any of our listeners are involved in false teachings and false movements, that you would repent today and ask God to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and he is merciful, and he's able to forgive us. And get out your Bible and study the scriptures for yourself. Well, Michaela, thanks so much. Wonderful to have you on. I would welcome you back anytime. And your blog, could you give people the name where they can find you?
It's WordPress. Oh, I don't even know.
Michaela, it's spelled M.
K-A-Y.
You can't miss it because nobody spells their name like that.
So, my name.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But that's how you'll find her, because nobody spells their name like that. But if you go searching for her, M'Kayla, you'll find her blog.
Yeah. It's also called Michaela's Corner, so if you Google that. But the address is mkayla.wordpress.com.
Okay, then. And I would go there and read her articles, and you can get a lot of information if you've been involved in these things yourself. So thanks so much, okay? God bless you.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, thanks.
Too.
Yeah, it was. It was a blessing. Thank you. Thanks, everybody in the chat room and everybody in that's listened or will listen in the future. We hope that you were blessed. And thank you all my listeners. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it so very much. I hope that you're being blessed and encouraged through our broadcast. That is our heart. And don't forget, the most important thing today is to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the third chapter of John that you must be born again. First, you were born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Read the book of Romans today, where the book of Romans says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Ask Jesus into your life today. Repent of your sins and let him give you a brand new life. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. God bless you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.